This is Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
On November 8, 2011, voters in Albemarle County's Ravana District will go to the polls to elect their representative on the Albemarle Board of Supervisors. This recording is Brian Wheeler's September 27th interview with Ken Boyd, the incumbent and Republican nominee in the race. Mr. Boyd, thank you for participating in this interview with Charlottesville Tomorrow. The complete audio and written transcript for this interview will be available online. Information from this interview will be used in the compilation of the Nonpartisan Voter Guide being co-produced by Charlottesville Tomorrow and the Daily Progress. Charlottesville Tomorrow does not endorse any candidates, and our goal is to provide information to the public so they can make an informed vote on issues primarily related to land use, transportation, and community design. As you are aware, candidates have been provided in advance only the general topics for these questions. All supervisor candidates will be asked the same questions. We ask that you keep these questions confidential until all candidates have been interviewed. Each candidate will be provided an opportunity to review the excerpt selected for the voter guide before its publication. Are you ready to start?
Sure.
All right, our first question. Please describe your past experience that qualifies you to be on the Albemarle Board of Supervisors.
Well, I'm a 30-year resident of Albemarle County who is a husband, a father, and a grandfather. All four of my children were educated in Albemarle County Public Schools, and I've been active in this community for all of those 30 years as a neighborhood leader, a youth coach, education advocate, parent council member, PTO president, and on community service boards. I was elected in the Ravana District as a representative on the school board and spent 4 years in that position. For the last 8 years, I've been a member of the Board of Supervisors. My formal education includes both a BBA and an MBA. I spent 23 years in corporate as a corporate executive in the banking business before starting my own small financial planning company 20 years ago. These local life, education, business, and civic experiences are what positions me to be in the most qualified person to continue as to represent the Ravana District.
Question number two. What is your transportation agenda for the county? And a follow-up, does it require more money, and how will you fund and implement it?
Well, multimodal transportation is important to our community, and the board is committed to providing opportunities when fiscally feasible, and that's an important word, fiscally feasible. We participate in the city with mass transit routes, and we put bike lanes on all new and expanded roads. We promote ride share. We contribute heavily to Jaunt. And we advocate for mixed-use neighborhood model where citizens can work, live, and shop within walking distance. I will continue to support all these initiatives, but the key to it is that we must be fiscally responsible in doing this. Transportation efforts can be expensive, and I think we need to do it in a responsible way.
And did you want to say at all how you would fund things that you want to do? Is there any you want to follow up at all?
Well, I think what we have to do is look at the budget, and we have to allocate the funds appropriately for our transportation along with the other things that are there. It would be difficult to say how it would change what we're doing today in funding the budget.
All right, our third question. How should the city, county, and the University of Virginia work together to enhance our community's unique character and economic vitality?
But the county, the city, and the university have a long history of collaborative discussions and actions. We're a very different scenario from many regional communities in the Commonwealth, where the cities and counties don't even try to work together. These efforts in such a diverse community will inevitably lead to differences of opinion, but we deserve kudos for the continuing the discussion. I represented the board for several years on the county, city, and UVA joint PAC committee, and I have participated in countless discussions with both the city and the university. These efforts have led to many collaborative ventures, including K-Tech and the Ivy Creek School, courts and jail authority, mass transportation, water, sewer, and solid waste, recycling, and many other joint ventures. I expect we will continue to move in the same direction.
Our fourth question. Should the board consider boundary adjustments for Albemarle County's designated growth areas to create new locations for business on land currently zoned as rural areas? And a follow-up, does it matter if the land is in the watershed of the South Fork Ravana Reservoir?
Well, and to the first question, it's since my joining the board, the designated growth area is actually reduced by legislative process and by our master planning efforts. Additionally, a large section of the growth area has been rendered unusable for growth when the state took over the Biscuit Run property as a park. Now, we are currently updating our comprehensive plan and studying land use needs, particularly as it relates to Economic Vitality Action Plan and Light Industrial Zoning. These changing opportunities and needs are an example of why I believe that we need to have an open mind regarding the growth and boundaries and not treat the growth area as something that is absolutely sacrosanct.
And the last question, does it matter if the land is in the watershed of the South Fork Ravenna Reservoir?
I think it does matter. We've already taken efforts to protect our watersheds by with the setbacks. So we certainly would have to take a very close look at that.
Question number five. What role should local government play to stimulate economic vitality? And a follow-up, do you support Albemarle's economic vitality plan? And are there areas you recommend for improvement?
Well, I would address the second question first. Of course, I do support the Economic Vitality Plan. It was an initiative that I put forward to begin with. I think the only thing that bothers me is it's moving a little slowly. That's what I'd like to see, is the process moving a little faster. But I've been a proponent of that in this community since coming on the board. And as I mentioned, I initiated the discussions with the Chamber of Commerce and with the Thomas Jefferson Partnership for Economic Development, which was eventually approved by a majority vote. Now, I proposed the establishing of, and funding of an economic opportunity fund, which was instrumental in keeping over 100 high-paying jobs in micro-air in our local community under a contract, and people have to understand it was a contract, which will return our investment in under 5 years. The current Economic Vitality Action Plan was started with a motion by me, and the jobs are a high priority in our community. And I have worked with the county's large and small employers to ensure their success by not overburdening them with excessive government regulation.
Our sixth question. What is the top priority in your personal strategic plan for action by the Board of Supervisors if you are elected?
First of all, my top priority. Well, let's address the first question first. I've been on the Board of Supervisors since the early stages of a formal strategic planning process, and I continue to support this effort as a high priority. The plan is built around the values of integrity, innovation, stewardship, and learning. There are five specific goals which are measured outcomes in the two-budget cycle plan. They are future capital needs, communication between general government and the school system, our economic vitality action plan, future library structuring, and solid waste disposal. Now, I was part of crafting this plan, the strategic plan, and it was a unanimous vote to support it, so I'm supporting it. This year, in our strategic plan work session, I proposed that we challenge staff with coming up with suggestions of how we might encourage a return to a culture of individual responsibility and self-reliance, and I think that's what my priority item would be at this point.
Question number seven. Do you believe the Western Bypass Project is consistent with the character of our community and the public's vision for transportation in Albemarle County?
Well, despite the shortcomings of the proposed Western Bypass, it would be irresponsible for us as a board to turn down the amount of infrastructure investment in our community. We were not really given an option from the state to spend this money on any other road, so I think trying to compare it to whether it fits the nature of our roads may not be something we can do. We were able to include in the deal funding for one of our highest priority projects, which is widening of the 29 from Polo Grounds to Hollymead Town Center. And I think that is certainly a coup for us that we're able to get the money to do that as well. Keeping with the character of the community, I think this road can be built in such a way that it will keep in character of the community. We've got to remember that it was the byproduct of years of study, what might have been some time ago. And I think this will be just the first leg of what I hope will be a much longer bypass in the future.
Question number eight. In recent budgets, the Board of Supervisors has chosen not to raise taxes to provide additional funds for capital budget needs, such that the current capital budget primarily supports only maintenance projects. How will you address capital funding needs as part of the next county budget?
Well, the problem with capital, in quotes, needs is that budgets, is it who defines what these needs are? I fully support the needed infrastructure as well as maintenance of our capital assets. We do have a diligence in our spending relative to, we do have to be diligent in our spending relative to the state of the economy and the impact on our citizens. I would not support borrowing more money that we don't have the existing capacity to pay back, meaning that if we don't have the operating funds to pay back the loans, then we can't borrow the money. That's what they do in Washington, D.C. It's what's gotten them in so much trouble this time. But sometimes you have to kind of keep the late model car rather than buying the new one if you can't afford to buy a new one. That should apply to government as well as in our individual lives.
Question number 9. How will you support preserving the rich agrarian tradition and texture of our rural areas?
Well, protection of our rural areas is very much a priority with all of our citizens here, and I have and I still do support the ACE program during times when the local economic engine is humming, so to speak, and when there's money in the coffers to support it. In recent economic times, my emphasis has been based on support of our agribusiness and our improved ordinances, allowing for more farm markets, local food sales, and success of our wineries. All very positive free market means of maintaining a vibrant rural economy. Protecting our rural areas will continue to be a high priority of mine, along with protecting personal property rights.
Question number 10. Will you consider raising the real estate property tax rate in the next county budget to invest in capital funding priorities? Why or why not?
I will consider raising the property taxes if there's a dire need for us to do so, but I think it has to be a dire need. We have to make sure that we are aware of what is going on with our citizens, as I mentioned in the economic vitality question. I will not raise taxes if I think it's going to be a burden on the people who are on fixed incomes or those people who are land rich and dollar poor. We have to keep our capital infrastructure in place for sure, but raising taxes is not on my horizon as a way to do that. I think reducing expenses is probably top of my list.
Question number 11. Should the Board of Supervisors support moving the Ravana Sewer Pump Station from its current location in Woolen Mills, even if it will cost city and county ratepayers an additional $15 million to $18 million to do so?
Well, you know, we have let our infrastructure go for such a long time on water and sewer, and it really has something that bothered me since being on the board. And since joining the Ravana Water Sewer Authority, it's even more acute because I'm seeing firsthand the amount of money. People don't realize that 70% of our capital budget, you know, we talk about the dam and that's getting all the winds and the sails, but the real expenses coming up is the infrastructure having to do with our water and sewer, the pumping stations, the water treatment plants, and the interceptor lines. Huge amount of money being spent on all of that. Moving the pumping station is something that I've not decided yet. I want to see all the facts before I do. I think that some amount of money, I'm not sure whether $15 million is the tipping point or not, is worth establishing a quality of life for the people in Woolen Mills. But we'll just have to see how that shakes out before we can make a final decision on it.
Ken Boyd, thank you for participating in this interview with Charlotte Till Tomorrow.
My pleasure.